I need to find out more information. On that particular day, the 15th day of January, 1974, can you tell me where you went to kill Mr. Joseph Otero?
I think it's 1834. Edgemore.
All right. Can you tell me approximately what time of day you went there?
Somewhere between 7 and 7:30.
This particular location, did you know these people?
No, that's... that was part of my, I guess my what you call fantasy. These people were selected.
All right, so you...
Okay.
You were engaged in some kind of fantasy during this period of time?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, when you use the term fantasy, is this something you were doing for your personal pleasure?
Sexual fantasy, sir.
I see. So you went to this residence, and what occurred then?
Well, I had did some thinking on what I was going to do to either Mrs. Otero or Josephine, and basically broke into the house, or didn't break into the house, but when they came out of the house, I came in and confronted the family, and then we went from there.
All right. Had you planned this beforehand?
To some degree, yes. After I got in the house, I lost control of it, but it was, you know, in the back of my mind, I had some ideas what I was going to do. I basically panicked that first day, so.
Beforehand, did you know who was there in the house?
I thought Mrs. Otero and the two kids, the two younger kids were in the house. I didn't realize Mr. Otero was going to be there.
All right. How did you get into the house?
I came through the back door, cut the phone lines, waited at the back door, had reservations about even going or just walking away, but pretty soon the door opened and I was in.
All right, so the door opened, was it open for you or did something?
I think one of the kids, I think the junior, or not junior, yes, the young girl, Joseph, opened the door. He probably let the dog out because the dog was in the house at that time.
All right, when you went into the house, what happened then?
Well, I confronted the family, pulled a pistol, confronted Mr. Otero, and asked him to, you know, that I was there to, basically, I was wanted to get the car. I was hungry, food, I was wanted, and asked him to lie down in the living room. And at that time, I realized that wouldn't be a really good idea, so I finally... The dog was a real problem, so I asked Mr. Otero if he could get the dog out. So he had one of the kids put it out, and then I took him back to the bedroom.
You took who back to the bedroom?
The family, to the bedroom, the four members.
All right, what happened then?
That time I tied him up.
While still holding him at gunpoint?
Well, in between tying and yes. Yeah.
All right, after you tied them up, what occurred?
Well, they started complaining about being tied up, and I re-loosened the bonds a couple of times. Tried to make Mr. Otero as comfortable as I could. Apparently had a cracked rib from a car accident, so I had him put a pillow down for his head. Had he put a, I think he Parker or a coat underneath him. They talked to me about... giving the car and whatever money. I guess they didn't have very much money. And there I realized that, I was already, I didn't have a mask on or anything. They already could ID me and made a decision to go ahead and put him down, I guess, or strangle him.
All right. What did you do to Joseph Otero Sr.?
Joseph Otero?
Yeah, okay. Joseph Otero Sr., Mr. Otero, the father.
I put a plastic bag over his head and then some cords and then tightened it.
And this was in the bedroom?
Yes, sir.
Did he, in fact, suffocate and die as a result of this?
Not right away. No, sir, he didn't.
What happened?
After that, I did Mrs. Otero. I had never strangled anyone before, so I really didn't know how much pressure you had to put on a person or how long it would take. But
Was she also tied up there in the bedroom?
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah, both her hands and their feet were tied up. She was on the bed.
Where were the children?
Josephine was on the bed, and Junior was on the floor this time.
So we're talking, first of all, about Joseph Otero. So you put the bag over his head and tied it,
mm-hmm.
and he did not die right away. Can you tell me what happened in regards to Joseph?
He moved over real quick, like, and I think tore a hole in the bag, and I could tell that he was having some problems there. But at that time, the whole family just went, they went panicked on me, so I worked pretty quick.
You worked pretty quick.
Well,
what
I mean, I strangled Mrs. Otero, and she went out, or passed out. I thought she was dead. She passed out. Then I strangled Josephine. She passed out, or I thought she was dead. And then I went over and put a bag on Junior's head. And then, if I remember right, Mrs. Otero came back.
Sir, let me ask you about Joseph Otero Sr. You indicated he had torn a hole in the bag.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you do with him then?
I put another bag over it, or either that or I put a cloth or a T-shirt or something over his head, and then another bag.
Did he subsequently die?
Well, yes. I didn't just stay there and watch him. That I was moving around the room. But.
All right, so you indicated you strangled Mrs. Otero after you had done this. Is that correct?
No, I went back and strangled her again. Right. That finally killed her at that time.
So this is in regards to count two. You had, first of all, put the bag over Joseph Otero's head,
mm-hmm.
and he tore a hole in the bag.
Mm-hmm.
Then you went ahead. Did you strangle Mrs. Otero then,
okay.
or did you go
first
back?
First of all, Mr. Otero was strangled, or a bag put over his head and strangled. Then I thought he was going down, and I went over and strangled Mrs. Otero, and I thought she was down. Then I strangled Josephine, thought she was down, and then I went over to Junior and put the bag on his head. After that, Mrs. Otero woke back up, and she was pretty upset and what's going on. So I came back and at that point in time strangled her for a death strangle at that time.
With your hands or what?
No, with a cord, with a rope. And then I think at that point in time I redid Mr. Otero, put the bag over his head, went over and then took Junior. Before that, she asked me to save her son. So I actually had taken the bag off, and then I was really upset at that point in time. So basically, when Mr. Otero was down, Mrs. Otero was down, I went ahead and took Junior, I put another bag over his head and took him to the other bedroom at that time.
What did you do then?
Put a bag over his head, I put a cloth over his head, a T-shirt and a bag so he couldn't tear a hole in it. And he subsequently died from that. And then when I went back, Josephine had woke back up.
What did you do then?
And I took her to the basement and eventually hung her.
All right, you hung her in the basement?
Yes, sir.
All right, did you do anything else at that time?
Yes, I had some sexual fantasies, but that was after she was hung.
All right. What did you do then?
Went through the house, kind of cleaned it up. It's called the right-hand rule. You go from room to room, picked everything up. I think I took Mr. Otero's watch. I guess I took a radio. I forgot about that, but apparently I took a radio.
Why did you take these things?
I don't know. I have no idea. Just
what happened then?
I got the keys to the car. In fact, I had the keys, I think, earlier before that because I wanted to make sure I had a way of getting out of the house and clean the house up a little bit, make sure everything's packed up and left through the front door. And went over to their car and then drove over to Dylan's, left the car there, then eventually walked back to my car.
All right. Now, sir, from what you have just said,
Well, let's just do one here. I mean, let's start. Obviously, we got to start somewhere. And I think it might, we might, it's a long shot, it's a pretty long shot, that you might be able to get something out of it. At least some of that so-called tangible evidence that might be of some value not only to you but to others. And maybe a bit of information, even if you don't find anything else, that might be of some value to families.
Okay.
So we'll do, I understand that at the Issaquah site, which I could describe to you, would describe to you if you want, there were remains of three individuals found, two identified and one not, because of the kinds of remains that were found were so few and unidentifiable, okay? What do you want? Where the description of the site first? How to get there? I mean, you just don't make this up, right? Maybe half a mile, quarter mile down this little side road. If you kept on flying all the way down, oh well, Lord knows what the little creatures up there did, what the animals would have done. But I think let me start with one. Let me start this way. The unidentified remains. This is where I'm a little bit, the presence of the officers down here is a little bit unnerving. Some of this stuff I don't mind talking about, but because they wouldn't know from Adam. Not anything you would have found that I know of. You would have found damage to the head. The jaw in particular, probably broken. But if you'd found that, you would have known who it was. But anyway, I don't know. Is there any reason you asked me that question? I was moving up the alley. Using a briefcase and some crutches, and a young woman walked down. I saw her round the north end of the block into the alley and stop for a moment and then keep on walking down the alley toward me. And about halfway down the block, I encountered her and asked her to help me carry the briefcase, which she did, and we walked back up the alley, across the street, turned right on the sidewalk, in front of, I think, a fraternity house on the corner there. Rounded the corner to the left, going north on 47th. Walked midway in the block. There used to be one of those parking lots they used to make out of burned down houses in that area. Let's see. We were to the...
We were to the car.
All
which ruse would work with which woman? I mean, you had to have a way of feeling them out and saying, I think ruse number 1, 2, 3 will work with this woman. Explain that process to me.
Well, one of them was, they would, a woman would get in a car,
She's already in the car?
She's in the car. Let's say she's always in the car. We're driving down the road. And she wants to see my ID. So I whipped out my ID, and with my ID would be my, I put my finger over my driver's license to hide my name. But on the opposite side was pictures. And a picture of my son. And then she'd see my son, and they would know I was a probably normal person.
But you were really using your son as part of your ruse.
Because only at the time I didn't want a picture of my ex-wife there, so I had to have a picture of my son.
Sure, you had to make it sound good.
I had a driver's license on one side, my ID, and then when I showed my, and then the next picture was my son, so that was, and in the vehicle I had some, always had some, not always, but had some of my son's stuff in there, you know, that he left in there, or some Star Wars or something like that, and you know, so there was like a family setting.
In your vehicle.
Yeah, so every time I opened up my wallet, there would be a picture of my son on one side, you know, behind my ID. Here's my ID, I hide my name, flip it over, and there's my ID and my son's picture on the back side, and they'd see that, and that would lower any big defenses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kids' toys, 8-year-old toys on the dash.
The only thing that would be better than that would be to have your son in the car with you. That would be an incredible ruse.
That happened once.
What happened?
It was July 18th, I think it was my brother's birthday. That weekend I picked up a woman on back highway, and Matthew was next to me in the seat, and she hopped in, and I took her over to in the South Airport area, and took her into an area, and my son was there, and I killed her. I'm real sure my son didn't see it, but that only happened one time.
But that was a pretty good ruse.
Mm-hmm.
So why didn't you do it again?
Well, for one thing, I didn't want my son to see it.